All right. It's the first time I've been on this stage. This is awesome. I'm so excited to be standing here today because it means that I have been through an amazing journey of recovery that I'm thrilled to share with you tonight. Hi, my name is Wes Chick, and I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from pride, addiction to pornography, and homosexuality. Thank you to my friends. Let us pray. Oh God, please open hearts tonight. Use me as a vessel to share your story of grace and mercy in my life so that someone in this room who you have divinely appointed to be here may hear this message and realize there is hope for true freedom through leaning into you when all other earthly solutions have failed. I love you, God, and I know now more than ever how much you love me. Amen. See, it's already started. All right. I got an over-under down here. All right. So not everyone can say that they've had two different full legal names in their life. For the first 7 years of mine, I had a completely different name from the one I carry today. It was John Wesley Heidi, and I was the son of a young Marine who came back from Vietnam shattered emotionally and couldn't handle the stress of raising two boys with his young high school sweetheart bride. So he chose violence as an outlet for his pain and physically abused my mom. I will never forget the day we left Dad and took the short walk down the street to my grandparents' house, the day he threw a drawer from her chest across the room, striking her. I remember being confused as to why Dad had to get so angry at Mom when he seemed to always want to do fun stuff with me, like play in the pile of raked leaves. I was 5 years old and would not lay eyes on him again until my early 20s. My mom did the best she could after we left my dad, became very protective of us. She sought security and married a man 2 short years later that would adopt me and change my name legally to his and rid any remnant of my birth father's namesake in order to start a new life. We moved to the suburbs and were told to lie to friends, neighbors, and schoolmates about when they got married to appear as if we were his natural children and made everything look normal from the outside looking in. Unfortunately, the reality was that I never connected with my new dad, nor accepted him as my earthly father. We were not a church-going family until my best friend invited me to his small church. It was there that I learned that Jesus died on the cross to save me from eternal condemnation. Not only did I accept Jesus' gift of salvation, but my family did as well. We were now that beautiful church-going family that had everything going for it, from the outside looking in. My mom has been an amazing example of abiding daily in God's love and has prayed for regeneration for me for decades. I was ultra involved in church and all it had to offer: choir, evangelism, camps, and conferences. I was on fire for serving the Lord. Then the summer of 81 came. While helping with a church garage sale, one of the regular volunteers asked me to go with him to his house to get tables. I did so, and when I walked into his house, I was introduced to video pornography for the first time in my life. It was accidentally left on, and I was asked if I liked it. I was a 13-year-old boy going through puberty and already wondering about sex. He knew the answer. I was told that since I had seen it, I could not tell anyone because I would get in trouble. He lured me to his house to watch pornography on a regular basis after taking me to Mavs games or Rangers games or the like. The just watching videos progressed into touching, then to sex, and finally to sex with his friends. His display of affection, attention, and affirmation I never received from an earthly father was his way to manipulate me into doing almost anything he suggested, all the while warning me that if I told anyone what was happening, I would be the one to be in trouble, since I was the one who wanted it in the first place. I was having sex with men 3 times my age and never told a soul for fear I would get into serious trouble based on how intense my sin struggle had become at this point. I had already learned how to lie to others to keep up appearances at an early age, so leading a double life wasn't all that difficult for me, and it was the 80s, long before social media could keep track of my every move. I was living a perfect Christian life at church and was in every extracurricular activity at school I could, all the while maintaining an A average. I believe strongly now that the more shame and guilt I felt on the inside, the more I had to show others that I was a good guy and had my life completely together. Nobody had a clue of the hell I was involved with for those 4 to 5 years. The shame and guilt I felt every time I left his house was pain I carried well into my 40s. During high school, I remember sitting with my minister at one point, telling him I thought I might be gay. The courage I had to drum up to even say the words was nearly impossible. but I could never tell him what else was going on right beneath his nose. And the only feedback he could give me was that homosexuality was a sin and that he would pray for me. No follow-up after that. No encouragement or advice or how to address this awful curse I had been handed. I hit a dead end and believed there was definitely no hope of ever recovering from the sin through the help of anyone else. I felt completely and utterly alone and decided I could never share this with anyone else going forward because the courage it took to just say the words to him was more than I could conjure up again. I thought that going off to college would eliminate my now fully grown sinful desire to seek sex with other men, but it didn't. Again, I lived a perfect life on the surface, and everyone at school thought I was the great guy who had this life together and a great future waiting for him, when none of them knew the deep, dark, secret life I was carrying out by chasing the desires of the flesh. During graduate school, I finally found myself completely exhausted from living my double life and no longer wanting to hide the truth about the man I had become. I came out of the proverbial closet and was met with open arms by a new community that said God made me this way to embrace who I was and to use my talents to promote and expand the causes that were important to my identity as a gay male. So I did. Almost immediately, I met someone who became my partner for the next 22 years, and I was fully engaged in making new friends, leaving all, yes, all of my relationships behind, teachers, friends, and fraternity brothers, all of them. Again, my expectations were that my life would be awesome because I was really being who I was and it felt really good. I made a ton of friends, but guess what? The reality of my depravity caught up with me and life was anything but perfect. I had a great career, relationship, traveled the world, and all the friends I could ever want in life, but yet something was always missing. I even started taking an anti-anxiety drug for the mood swings and drugs nightly to keep me asleep because of always waking up through the night if I wasn't drinking alcohol to do the same. I called on God so many times asking him, why was I not really happy? I believe that he made me this way, so why wasn't I happy? I went in and out of churches trying to connect to the God I remembered as a child, yet always feeling pushed away as soon as they heard my story. This went on for years. On my regular bike rides, however, I kept passing this new building. It was one of the most beautiful I had ever seen up to this point in Dallas. When I found out it was a church, I knew I'd be able to see it inside someday. I still didn't go in right away, but when I learned it was called Watermark, I checked it out online. Still never going, I was on a call one day with a company out of South Carolina called Watermark. At the end of the call, I asked casually, I said, why he called his company Watermark? And he told me that his family used to live in Dallas and went to this really great church called Watermark. So they named their company after it. I thought to myself, okay, God, I get it. I'll try it out. I will never forget my first day sitting by myself in the balcony listening to an amazing message of grace, no matter where you were in life or what you had done. Whew. The pastor was promoting a program called Regeneration, Recovering Christ When Life is Broken. And it was the first time I had ever seen the word recovery along with the words like sexual abuse, pornography, and homosexuality used in the same sentence. And in a church bulletin, no less. This particular Monday evening, when there was going to be a testimony by a man who had suffered from childhood sexual abuse and was healed by God of the shame and guilt he had lived with ever since, I was in. I sat near the back in the middle. As this man shared what he had undergone in his childhood and the grace and mercy God showed him through the years to where he was living a life devoted to God and his wife, I just bawled my eyes out sitting right there knowing I had finally found the place where I was going to find the help I had been seeking. I went to the newcomers class, then started attending MEND, a ministry for men who have experienced past sexual abuse. I was 43 years old and had never shared my story of abuse with anyone in detail for the 30 years prior. To sit in that room with other men and share my story, I felt chains being unlocked and falling off me for the first time in my life. I was attending Watermark regularly and feeling God was beginning to heal me when I got transferred to Chicago with my company. Taking my partner with me, I had every intention of finding a new place to worship and continue my recovery efforts. However, my selfish, sinful nature took over and I fell back into my lifestyle head first. I was back living the life that brought comfort because I had fallen so quickly from God and didn't have any support around me to keep me grounded in the Word and continue with my recovery efforts. I found myself exhausted once again. But this time it was from the state of hopelessness that I fell into. I had everything in life that the world told me would bring happiness, and yet I had nothing to live for. I could have died at any point and not even cared. I remember thinking to myself, how did I end up here? When I had started such a great pathway to recovery back in Dallas, one day I was sitting in the largest gay bar in Chicago. on a Sunday afternoon, and I turned to one of my friends and I was telling him, I said, I'm done. He said, are you ready to leave? I said, no, I'm done. I will never walk back in this bar again. I never looked back. God began to take the reins at that point and made things happen that can only be described as divine intervention. I was led to visit a church in Chicago that spoke of a similar message of grace to all. I met with the pastor to tell him my story, and he encouraged me with truth. Then a series of events over the next 6 months headed me back to Dallas when I thought I would never leave Chicago. I vowed that I would not only start attending Watermark again, but I would find a job that would allow me to be available on Monday nights and start regeneration immediately. God allowed all this to happen, and I began my new journey November 3rd, 2014. I no longer had the chains of childhood sexual abuse around me, but I was now focused on the sin in my life that brought me so much despair and hopelessness, and I knew this would be my one chance to find true freedom and healing, although I had no idea how. I went through groundwork and was placed in a group of 14 other men and a couple of leaders that had already experienced regeneration of their own. Through working the steps of recovery, I remember being stuck on trust. Sure, I trusted that I could recover from my shame, from the childhood abuse, my pride, and my porn addiction, but I still could not believe that my same-sex attraction, much less the 22-year relationship I had, could be healed or changed. I recently looked back at my Steps 1 through 3 book and read entry after entry of the sense of hopelessness I continued to feel. My leader would ask me why I thought God was big enough to work on everything else but this. He challenged me over and again to not put God in such a small box. He sent me links to articles and podcasts to read and watch, and one made all the difference in the world. It was a talk that Ricky Shillette gave to The Porch in February of 12 on how same-sex attraction has the opportunity to be developed in young boys through the environment that is established that supports choices being made that then biologically secures habits and desires that are not easily reverted. The explanation he gave along with his personal testimony could have almost been replaced with my name inserted. And here he was, married and living for God and helping other men find healing from the worldly supported sin. On May 18th of 2015, I went home after a night at Regen, felt God working in my heart like I had not felt to this point. I started writing a letter to my leader and shared a great deal with him, but this part stuck out most. I said, Jim, I want to fully realize what walking with my Savior feels like, and wake up every day knowing I am his and he is mine, and truly trust him in all that I say and do. I want to allow the love of my heavenly dad to be enough for me and satisfy my desire to be loved and cherished and not continually seek it from another human being. I want a true life in Christ, Jim. I don't think I've ever said those words and meant them as much as when I just wrote them, but I truly want to make the old new again and have God create a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. I want to follow him and give him my will and trust solely in his guidance for the rest of my life. That night, I gave up my will to Christ, which I had never done before. I told God that night that I needed a Savior, and I was ready to give my life over to him, and that no matter what, I knew he was my only source of strength and direction towards real healing. After sharing my email with my leader, his first response to me quoted Jeremiah 29:11-13, which says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." For the first time in my life, I was actually seeking him with all of my heart, and my life completely changed. I left all of my shame and guilt of everything I had ever done against God and others at the cross and accepted the full love and grace that God was offering to me through the blood of Jesus Christ. For the first time, I felt true freedom from my sinful nature. Paul writes in Galatians 5:1 that it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. I am no longer a slave to the identity that the world placed on me that I accepted for so long. My identity is now in Christ and Christ alone. He is my saving grace, my rock, my Savior, my deliverer, my protector, and my redeemer. He died on that cross for all of my sins, past, present, and future. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians 2:20. God has since allowed me to be able to eliminate the need for the anti-anxiety medicine I had taken for over 12 years and later lost the need to take drugs to keep me asleep. with the help of the men in my region study group who had been there with unwavering support since our time in Groundwork, I was able to leave the relationship I'd been in for 22 years. I moved into a home with some godly men from Watermark who welcomed me and offered the same kind of love and support I found from the men in my region group. I live life differently now. I have developed a daily abiding relationship with God that includes building my knowledge of His Word through reading and also attending equipping classes that Watermark provides, praying for continued strength and courage when facing temptations from my old selfish nature, and creating new habits in my life that protect my heart from turning away from Him ever again. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life." I have the immense privilege now of co-leading a group of 14 men through a closed group, which we are nearing the end of, and being able to share my story of grace and mercy and be an example of just how big God is and what He is capable of doing in our lives if we just let go and let God change our hearts and break them of what breaks His. He is a good, good Father and loves us more than any one person on this earth could ever love us. He wants to have a close relationship with us. He pursues us through our disobedience and the seeking of satisfaction through our own selfish means when we do not deserve it. I am a changed man because of Jesus. And I know, and I now get to share with the world exactly what the power of the cross has done in my life, making me into the man God intended me to be. If this is your first time to regeneration, welcome. Welcome. Welcome to a place that is safe, where you can lay your burdens down and not be judged or condemned because you are surrounded by other broken individuals who all need the touch of Jesus to find healing and restoration from the sinful patterns we have turned to for comfort that have led us to dead ends over and again. Thank you for trusting us enough to come tonight and allowing us to love you where you are and lead you to a relationship with a loving God who knows all your pain, every bit of your story, and wants you to find rest. Thank you for letting me share.